Blog Talk Radio. You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...
Welcome to another Friday with Let's Get Healthy. We are all works in progress. I am your host, Marlo Etienne, and we're on 101 Oasis Radio this Good Friday. We have a wonderful show with three health food store business owners. We're going to talk about why it's important to have a health food store in your community this evening. Before we do that, we're going to do what we usually do every month, to go over the different health events that are taking place in Georgia for the month of April. We've got Georgia Public Health Association, their 86th annual meeting and joint conference with the Southern Health Association. That takes place on Monday, April 13th and the 14th at the Hilton downtown in Atlanta. That address is 2555 Cortland Street, Northeast Atlanta, 30303. There are limited scholarships being offered to those who are public health students. For those who like to register for this event, please go to www.gapha.org. The March of Dimes is having their walk for March for Babies in various counties throughout Georgia from April 11th to the 25th. Please go to the website to know which counties will be having the walk and register at www.marchofdimes.org. I know for Atlanta, the walk will be at the Georgia World Congress Center. It'll start there on April 25th. Also, there is a conference on the 17th, the 16th and 17th of April. The Holistic Stress Control Institute is having a holistic wellness conference on conventional and complementary approaches for integrated optimal health. That's on the 16th from 9 to 5, as well as the 17th, April 16th and 17th. Those are Thursday and Friday from 9 to 5. That's at 2545 Benjamin E. Mays Drive, Atlanta, Georgia, 30311. The conference goals and objectives is to educate participants on a variety of complementary approaches that are being successfully used and integrated into conventional healthcare treatments in order to improve and increase small health. Now, on April 18th, Herbal Intentions is sponsoring a trail running race, the Battle of Altoona Creek, on Saturday, April 18th. The race starts at 8. You can either run 4 miles or 10 miles. That's Altoona Creek Ackworth, or Allatoona, I think that is what it is, Allatoona Creek Ackworth Trails in Ackworth, Georgia. For registration, you can go to www.mountaingoatadventures.com. You can also register on race day. There's finally this particular event for children, Every Kid Healthy Events, during Every Kid Healthy Week from April 19th through the 25th. It's an annual observance designed to celebrate schools' wellness achievements. The spotlight is on ways to overcome childhood obesity throughout Georgia. The web address is www.actionforhealthykids.org. Now, I would like to introduce our guest. We have three empowered women as health food store owners. First, we have Jill Rowland, who owns Nature's Corner Market. Jill, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Marlo. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, Jill. We have Renee Lowe, who owns Herbal Intentions. It's her race that's been sponsored or held on the 18th. Welcome to the show, Renee.
Hi there.
And we have Tanika Brooks with Herb and Vitamin Depot. Tanika, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Good evening, everyone.
Well, what I like to do is usually I read the bios of our guests, but I would like to switch it up a little bit because of the personal nature of having a health food store and these women being established for some years, for them to each tell their story of how they got started with the health food, in the health food store industry, and becoming health food store owners. I would like to start with Jill, and Jill, tell us how many years she's been in business and give us her story as to how she became a health food store owner, which is a very powerful business to have in the community to provide several different services for all of us to enjoy optimal health as we are living longer. So, Jill, please tell us your story.
Sure. We've been in business for 7 years. And the store came about just because of my passion about the lifestyle and the industry. I'd been living for more than 20 years probably of you know, like I said, a healthier lifestyle. And I worked in the industry for about 10 years, and I lived in West Cobb and just saw that there was definitely a need in the community. So that's kind of a short story of how the store became about. Obviously, I think that, like many people, we start looking into holistic lifestyle because of, you know, our own challenges, which is mm-hmm. what brought me, you know, into this realm of living. And back in, you know, the early 90s, people, you know, kind of looked at me like I had three heads. So,
mm-hmm,
as I'm
mm-hmm.
sure, you know, the ladies on the call, too, have probably been in the industry for a long time, and it's just something that, you know, we're passionate about. And so that's, you know, without getting much into detail, that was what started me in this path, was my own, you know, issues. So.
Mm-hmm. So you opened Nature's Corner Market in 2008.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, I did some research on every store that we're discussing this evening, and online there's a site called Yelp where people, customers are able to go to and share their thoughts about the store or any hotel, and this is what is said about Nature's Corner on Yelp. Wow, good selection, knowledgeable staff, great location too. For the amount of space they have, their variety is amazing. Fresh vegetables and fruit, vitamins, staples, and they sell Bragg vinegar. What else do you need? So you've got a lot of positive feedback on Facebook too. Now, anyone who's interested in going to Nature's Corner Market is in Kennesaw, Georgia. That's West Cobb in Marietta. The website is www.naturescornermarket.com. I'm going to spell that out because market isn't fully spelled. So that's Nature's Corner, MKT.com. And they are also on Facebook. Now I want to reach out to Renee and ask her about her start in the health food industry. Please share with us, Renee, how you got started.
Well, it's kind of a funny story. This is actually not the industry that I have a background in. I actually have a background in archaeology and anthropology,
mm-hmm.
and was completely settled to kind of go that route, but in order to do so, you kind of have to have your master's in that field.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been friends with a good friend of the family who owned a health food store since I was probably about a 15-year-old kid. Health food stores were sort of the one place that, as I was growing up, I can remember being as young as four, and my mom would take me into the local health food store, and I loved it. I loved the way the place smelled. I loved all the silly stuff, the carob candies and the sesame seed honey candies and just the whole vibe of the place. And going back to our friend of the family, it turned out that as I was trying to decide whether I wanted to go back to college and get my master's degree, she needed some help in her store mm-hmm. and asked if I was interested. And after about 6 months of kind of helping her out, I discovered that I really liked it and I wasn't half terrible at it. And that was in 2004, I think around November. And we opened our doors January 10th, 2005.
Wow, that's a great story. That's a major transition from archaeology and anthropology to becoming a health food store owner. You're also an herbalist,
yes.
A Reiki master, an iridologist.
I wear a few hats.
Yeah, you do. You do. Now, we're going to talk about where you're located. I'll let our audience know that you're in Acworth, Georgia, and your web address is www.herbalintentions.com. And on Yelp, this is the comment about, or one of the many comments about Herbal Intentions. This is a fabulous place. Renee provided a lot of help with my insomnia problems. I'm also looking forward to attending a Reiki exchange. We are fortunate to have such a great place in this area. Now, also found a comment from someone
California, who was really impressed with the service that you provided and the knowledge that you offered to her when she came into your store just visiting Georgia for a weekend. Now, Tanika, let's get your background. Please tell us how you got started in the health food store industry.
Yes. Mine is a little simpler, but a little complex all at the same time. The brand itself, Urban Vitamin Depot, was already in Hiram and has been in Hiram for over 10 years. A couple years ago, Vicky, as well as myself, the store was closing, and we saw the opportunity and the need for it to continue to stay in the community, so we decided to take it over, revamp some things, and basically allow it to grow. So that's what we've done.
Now, you're a certified natural health professional, a master herbalist, philanthropist, entrepreneur, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
So that's wonderful with having a health food store that you're able to educate the customers related to herbs. You know, your background discusses that, how you take the time with each person. And I know that with Renee and Jill as well, I mean, wonderful stores, and I certainly do highly recommend that our audience take the time to visit these stores, and I certainly do plug the stores on different shows and share information with my friends. Now, if anybody wants to go to Urban Vitamin Depot, they're in Hiram, Georgia. They're on Facebook, so you can facebook.com/Urban Vitamin Depot and find information about them. Now, on Facebook, this is one of your reviews. Knowledgeable staff, good selection, reasonable prices, love this place. So it's very clear that these three businesswomen are offering a service that is undeniably successful within a community. And, I mean, not just Georgia, throughout the country. You have different travelers visiting family members or for business reasons or relocating that are looking for healthy options. We have some health food stores that are just cropping up in different places. This is one of the ways that I found out about Nature's Corner. I was in Publix, and we were discussing how obsessed I was with the produce there, me and another customer, and she told me about Jill's store. And that's been about a year ago, and I've been at her store basically every week because of how close it is to me. I don't have to travel further throughout Marietta as I did to get all the health food and organic things that I need as a staple for my family. And I certainly have invited my friends to go to Nature's Corner as well. So I've been to all three stores, and I frequent those stores. Yeah, definitely. That's very important. This is why we're having this conversation, to discuss why it's important to have a health food store. We know that the larger brands, the corporate brands, have health food sections in their stores now, Kroger more than Publix, and certainly there's what we'll talk about later, is there are services that your stores offer and knowledge that you all have that the other stores don't. And this is why it's important for people in the community to have some options and also support the local small businesses and get information that they're not going to get from the larger brands because of the corporate process. And a lot of the employees there can't tell you like an herbalist can tell you, such as Renee and Tanika, the value of taking these herbs, or to talk about the organic produce in the way that Jill can because she offers fresh fruits and vegetables that are all organic. So let's start with some facts related to organic food market. According to the new United States Organic Food Market Forecast and Opportunities 2018 report, the retail organic food market is an emerging trend in the U.S. There is more and more demand for organic food, which is driven by the Western U.S. organic food market. According to the Organic Trade Association's 2012 estimates, and I've got five estimates here, about 81% of American families are reported to be purchasing organic food at least sometimes. Domestic organic food production has increased about 240% between 2002 and 2011, compared with 3% in the non-organic food market. Organic food sales topped $81.3 billion in 2012. U.S. organic food market to grow 14% from 2013 to 2018. By 2018, organic food sales are estimated to reach $50 billion. Now, you take that into consideration, there is a high demand for organic foods. Now, let's talk about that word organic. You know, we hear different definitions for what organic means and what organic doesn't mean. So I want to talk with our business owners here and hear from each of them to discuss what organic means. And Jill, you offer fresh organic produce at Nature's Corner Market. So what does organic mean to the listener?
Organic, organic products are products that are produced without the use of toxic pesticides and fertilizers. Also, antibiotics and hormones aren't allowed in, you know, organic meats. There's mm-hmm. no GMOs allowed currently. Hopefully it stays that way for a product to be labeled organic. And then things like sludge or radiation are not mm-hmm. allowed to be called mm-hmm. organic. Organic farmers work to build healthy soils instead, mm-hmm. feed the nutrients to the plant, which, of course, then in turn we know produces higher nutrient content in the plants themselves. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's just such a no-brainer to choose organic produce.
Now, do you have your customers, oh, let me ask this, did you start out with Nature's Corner solely selling organic produce, or was it because of demand of your customers, or was it based on your knowledge or a combination?
We've always only carried organic produce. It was certainly my knowledge. That was the way I chose to eat, and I knew, you know, the larger stores now are offering, you know, more options on as far as organic produce goes. In 2008, that was certainly not the case. You know, there was a little bit available. So I knew, once again, that there was, you know, a need to bring organic produce to the community. And the thing about it, you know, it only being organic, you know, there is a concern from a lot of consumers of cross-contamination. If they're mm-hmm. purchasing produce from a store that is selling both, you know, so in the back room and stocking, you know, the back stock and, you know, whatever, there is concern, you know, from some people about cross-contamination, and that certainly could be a real concern there. So that's, you know, one thing is, you know, the distributors that we use, they only distribute organic produce, and we only bring organic produce into the store. So, and you know, our business model is kind of set up as a healthy convenience market to the community. So it's quick in, it's quick out, but yeah, there's a lot of selection and everything. So we try to be kind of everything in one. And so we do have a smaller footprint. And surprisingly, people will be pretty surprised if they actually realize, and I've started trying to let that be known, you know, we have a small footprint, a small area for our produce, but the number of SKUs we have there can be as much as, you know, even a large-scale natural food store. So mm-hmm. we have a lot in a small area as far as the number of SKUs that we actually have. So big things come in small packages.
Oh, that's true. Your store is very well organized. It really is. It's a mini grocery store. I'm serious. I shop at Whole Foods, Life Grocery, and for those who live in the Atlanta metro area, of course we know Whole Foods. The Life Grocery is in Marietta. And for the small section that you have for your produce, you've got more produce than Kroger's store, the Kroger store that is off of 92, that's the largest Kroger in our area, and they have a lot of produce that is organic. So for your small space, you're selling staple produce that people look for fruit and vegetable as organic for cooking as well as eating raw for salads. And I mean lettuce salad and fruit salad. So you're right. You are offering in a small section a large variety of staple fruits and vegetables. And I think that's smart. I think that's a smart business model to be able to do the research and find out what the customers are usually buying, whether they go to your store or Kroger or Publix, and get the organic food stuff that they would normally buy, even if it was non-organic. What you're offering in a small section of your store is a lot. I think that's very, very promising for growth and demand to probably open up a store in another area of the city. So I congratulate you on your success with your store.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Actually,
sure.
She said that it looks like we're probably going to be opening in the Town Lake Woodstock area. So that would be probably close to the fall.
Okay. Well, you let me know about that. I'll announce that on the show.
Okay.
And have you come in and talk with us a little bit about your grand opening for the store.
Okay, awesome. Like
well, all right. We can make that happen. That's already done. So you just let me know.
All righty.
Now, as for herbs, Tanika, are your customers demanding organic herbs from you at the Urban Vitamin Depot, or they are inquisitive and you're sharing the knowledge with them how it's important to use organic herbs rather than non-organic herbs?
For us, I do believe that it is a mix. I think it depends on sometimes what they're looking for. Our customers, because we have like the essential oils and the body oils and things like that, they're definitely concerned about those oils being organic. As far as the supplements and the herbs go, they're concerned with the organic, but they're also concerned with the quality. So our job is not only to provide organic, but even if we have herbs that are not necessarily organic, they're usually kosher, they're non-GMO, so they're still being provided with a top-quality supplement regardless of what they're purchasing.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about you, Renee? You sell a lot of herbal remedies and essential oils, and you offer different treatments in your store that require you to use some herbs and essential oils. Do you find that your customers are requesting that you specifically have more organic offerings related to herbs and essential oils, or is it that you're educating them to know the difference and importance of having organic rather than non-organic?
I think I would agree with Tanika, and I hope I'm saying your name right.
You are.
Okay. Yeah, I think we get a mix. Definitely the people that are coming in for essential oils and carrier oils, which we've seen a huge surge since January in that, they seem to be very concerned about that. When it comes to supplements, it's a mixed bag. Some people are concerned. Some people are not that concerned. Again, as she said, mostly our customers are concerned with quality, how potent the supplement is, what agents are being used to process the supplement, how is sourcing being verified, what kind of testing are they doing to make sure that the herb is actually what it's supposed to be, are there chemical solvents involved? I mean, that's kind of more what I get from people. Organic seems to be important when it comes to supplements, but not nearly so much as sort of that kind of area.
Mm-hmm. Now, the supplements that you're offering, are they more plant-based supplements?
Well,
are you going that route?
Well, I mean, we offer a variety of things. I mean, we carry, whole food vitamins. We carry, herbal supplements. We carry bulk items. We carry a little bit of sports nutrition. We do some teas, probiotics, things like that. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of course, the herbal formulas are going to be plant-based. And even the whole food vitamins are going to have a food component to them because they are a food-based vitamin.
Now that you shared some of what it is that you offer at your store, Jill, I'd like you to share with our listeners some of the other food stuff that you provide at your store, because you also offer supplements and just like a mini supermarket. So
right.
please share
yeah.
with us what you offer.
It's as far as more information on the food, you said?
The food and some of the other products that you carry.
Okay.
Because you have
a
cafe in there, too.
We do.
So.
We do. Our cafe is newer. We've had a organic smoothie and juice, well, smoothies for quite some time. But then last summer we were able to expand, and we have organic juices, and we're doing a cafe with right now. We're doing paninis and wraps and organic salads and some other specialty things. You know, we make our dressings, our house made. We're doing, so just some really specialty things, some gluten-free, you know, pastas, some, one of my favorite things is we're doing a raw zucchini pasta with a hemp sun-dried tomato pesto. So we're doing some things that are, you know, really different. And I like to say that, you know, we don't pretend to be healthy. You know, some of the places that you go in and you're still getting GMO produce, you're still getting canola oil and soy oil and things like that. But we're preparing things there like we would feed our kids at home. So
mm-hmm.
it's all the produce is organic. Of course, the meats are all, you know, natural and antibiotic-free and hormone-free. And, you know, we use olive oil for cooking and, you know, organic coconut oil in our baked goods. And so, I mean, we're really doing everything that we can to really, truly serve the community healthy food. It
mm-hmm.
obviously costs more, but I think that, you know, the organic consumer – like I always have been, you know, that's the way I eat. And it's very challenging to go out somewhere and find, you know, truly healthy food, you know, even
mm-hmm.
in the larger natural food stores that are offering a big spread. But it's still, you know, a lot of it is still limited as far as the truly healthy choices that are there. And then the other things, you know, like I said, we're kind of we wanted to try to be a little bit of everything, you know, in one small footprint, so it's more convenient for the customer. So we do have, like you said, we have a great supplement selection and quality supplements, body care, natural makeup and essential oils, and, you know, just anything that you would find in a natural food store.
Yeah, it's excellent. It's comparable to Whole Foods on a smaller scale related to space.
Is right,
space
yeah.
So you're offering a variety of natural and organic products. Now, let's talk with you, Tanika, about Urban Vitamin Depot. What is it that you're offering in terms of supplementation? Is it plant-based? Of course, you've got the herbal formulas there. And are there any formulas that you are creating yourself and offering to your customers over there at Urban Vitamin Depot?
We do have a mix. There are plant-based, like Renee said, you have your whole plant vitamins. We have proteins, so our proteins are a variety. So we do have some soy-based proteins, some whey-based proteins, but they're all the non-GMO ones. We do have a nutrition line as well as a sports line. So that kind of expands as far as the other things that are offered, just kind of depending on what the person is looking for. I don't personally do any mixing. I do make recommendations. If there's
mm-hmm.
like an essential oil blend that I enjoy before I go to bed, then I'll say, hey, you know, lavender and mint is great. I sleep well off of that, you know. So I do
mm-hmm.
offer things that I use at home in my personal experience, but we don't actually mix anything here.
Oh, okay. You know, I met someone recently, actually 2 days ago, that I told about the herb and Vitamin Depot. We were in Hiram waiting for the commuter bus, and she was needing some products and wasn't aware that you were there. She lives in the area, so I certainly let her know that you all are there and you've been there for quite a while, and she intends to make her way over to your store. So this is what it's all about. When you know the products and services that are available in the community related to
Absolutely.
Eating healthy and living well, we have to spread that word.
Because we do. We get a lot of people that are still like, oh, I didn't know you guys were here. So it's great. And word of mouth works amazing. So we definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, it's very, very important. Now, considering that we discussed organic, I want to give the legal definition of organic that's offered by the United States Department of Agriculture, because you have more and more stores now, the competition with larger corporate stores wanting to get in on this multi-billion dollar industry to make money. So they're finding ways to have their products sold as organic. Kroger has this line of organic food stuff now. So this is the organic definition, the legal definition by the USDA. Organic foods are foods produced by organic farming. While the standards differ worldwide, organic farming in general features cultural, biological, and mechanical practices that foster cycling of resources, promote ecological balance, and conserve biodiversity. Synthetic pesticides and chemical fertilizers are not allowed, although certain organically approved pesticides may be used under limited conditions. In general, organic foods are also not processed using irrigation, industrial solvents, or synthetic food additives. Now, in the United States, the National Organic Program is the federal regulatory framework governing organic food. It is also the name of the organization, the Department of Agriculture, responsible for administering and enforcing the regulatory framework. So the Organic Food Production Act of 1990 required that the USDA develop national standards for organic products, and the final rule established, the NOP, was first published in the Federal Register in 2000, which means that gives the public nationally an opportunity to know what laws are being implemented. Of course, having read that legal term, Joe talked about how you have some cross-pollination issues related to the local farmers with these big corporations like Monsanto, for instance. You know, you got to watch the DVD Food Inc. to know what kind of challenges that the local farmers, organic farmers, are having. And not all organic, but local farmers are having with this company related to their seeds. Now, of course, so let's talk about that a little bit. Are you all involved in any kind of positions related to how you feel about what's going on in the organic food market related to GMOs?
Oh, absolutely. That GMOs are a huge, huge concern. And, you know, thanks to, you know, organizations like the Non-GMO Project, you know, consumers as well as the retailers have become much more aware and educated about GMOs. And, you know, years ago it was kind of like, oh, yeah, don't eat corn unless it's organic. And we just didn't really realize, many of us, including myself, we didn't really realize what was on the horizon or what was already being done. I can remember, you know, several years ago, not long after we first opened, and I was bringing in a line of fresh-made salsas, and they offered a tortilla chip. And these tortilla chips I'd seen stacked, you know, cases and cases at, you know, one of the larger natural retailers. And when I questioned the company about the tortilla chips, whether or not they were GMO, you know, non-GMO, they were kind of like, they had no idea, and they'd never really been even asked that question. So, you know, that was kind of what we thought about back then, and a lot of people, but many, many, many people really knew nothing about GMOs back, you know, whenever year that was, 2008 or 9 or whatnot. But it's definitely, you know, and the mention that you just made about the cross-pollination and farmers getting sued. And I know, you know, what you're referring to, and that is just such a travesty. It should so be the other way. Don't get me started. It should be the other way around. That poor farmer who wound up with their fields being contaminated should have been the ones to be, you know, allowed to file a lawsuit. It's just unbelievable what these, you know, huge companies are, you know, are doing. But definitely GMO is a concern for a lot of our consumers, and myself included. I don't want my children growing up on being a non-GMO or being a GMO experiment. It's really scary.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Renee? What's your take on it?
Well, I agree with Jill. I think it's a huge concern. That's one good thing about the whole organic deal is that you can be assured that it's a non-GMO product. It's kind of weird for me. I mean, I think as much as possible we need to educate consumers and be educated ourselves about what it really means to be GMO and why it's so important. And that's the same thing goes for the organic or certified organic status. I think the thing that frustrates me, though, is that, to give you an example, we do business personally with a small farm that is up in Ball Ground, Georgia, and she's sort of the hub for a consortium of farmers that basically practice everything that we're talking about here. They're not using genetically modified feed. They are pasture raising. They are not using antibiotics and steroids and hormones. But because they're just small grassroots local level farmers, of course, they don't have the funding to pay to get all of these sort of certifications to prove that they are technically doing X, Y, or Z. So, you know, they can't call themselves certified organic or, you know, whatever. But yet they are really doing a great job, you know. And so it's kind of a mixed bag for me. I love it when stores like Jill's Place exist that we can go to locally for people who can't drive all the way out to a farm and be able to get products that they, you know, are assured are good. But I also wish that people like the farm we do business with didn't have to run around, I guess, in fear of somebody slapping them with a huge penalty or a fine when all they're doing is trying to provide real food for people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting to me. But I think the more that we educate people and the more that it's clear that there's a demand, basically there's a demand to eat real food. Somewhere along the line, we stopped eating real food. I mean, the standard American diet is pretty terrible, and it's kind of the status quo. I mean, that's what a lot of people do. But I think the more that people kind of wake up to the idea that, hey, eating real food, eating clean food that hasn't been genetically messed with, that isn't full of pesticides, you know, practicing good, sound, ecological farming practices and supporting each other in a community to kind of make all that happen, I mean, I think we can win this thing. I mean, I don't think it's as bad as I was afraid it was going to be like 10 years ago. I think more people are kind of cottoning on than I really expected, or than a lot of people expected. So I have hope.
Yeah, I appreciate that, what you're saying about the hope part, because I like to really focus on the importance of nutrition, particularly the children. Jill brought this up. You know, she wants her children, as well as her customers' children, to eat quality food. And the fact of the matter is, I like this one naturopathic doctor who says that if it doesn't give your body nutrition, then it's not. Look at what you mentioned briefly about the standard American diet, which is basically fast food, you know, canned food. So take that into consideration, the value of having local health food stores who care about what they're offering to the public because of being a part of the community, offering service. So, Tanika, tell us your position related to GMO foods and what you think about GMOs rather than organic.
I think that Jill and Renee said it beautifully. I mean, I agree with them 100%. I think that, in all honesty, that the government is going to do what they want to do, you know, and it's going to be up to us as business owners of health food stores and, you know, to push and to allow the community to basically understand the importance, because as long as we accept it, you know, it'll be done. But once we mm-hmm. take that stand and we decide we're no longer going to accept it, that's really the only time that the actual change is going to occur. So having the health food stores in the community is extremely important for the education, so that people understand why it's important, why our diet is so poor now, why we're so different from other countries. We get diseases and things of that nature that other countries don't even see, and it's because of the foods that we're eating. So, again, you know, education is going to be extremely important, but with what Jill and Renee said, I can't say it any better.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I actually went to a health event where there was a local Georgia farmer there who has a farm in Hancock, he and his wife, and they were selling all organic food. And I'm telling you, I practically bought everything they had there, and it wasn't expensive. It was not expensive. It was so good. They had their binder to show you them working on their farm, working on their farm. It was so good. I haven't had corn since I bought it from them this week in about 4 years, because I was hard-pressed to find fresh corn that was not genetically modified. Mm-hmm. And he assured that everything was organic. He had the labeling on there. I had a great conversation with him and his wife. I talked with him about being on the show to talk about local organic farmers and what they're doing here in Georgia. There's a local organic farmer that comes to Dallas every Thursday. His farm's not that far, where he sells his produce on our Dallas Highway. For anybody who wants to travel out to Dallas Highway, if you're in the area, maybe Douglas County or Acworth or Cherokee, Lithia Springs, every Thursday on Dallas Highway at East Pawling Drive in that lot. And so it was incredible. The corn was so delicious. And as a mother, it's very true. You want to offer your children delicious food, healthy food, nutritious food, and teach them how to read labels and understand what nutrition is. You're challenged by that because of what is being offered. And we have a couple of friends, me and some lady friends, we're going to start growing some of our own food. We're going to start with herbs and the indoor tomatoes that are organic, and go out to Destiny Farms that's out in the Forest Park, and also get with the farmer that we met with, he and his wife, and how healthy they were because of eating organic food was just absolutely amazing at their age. They were in their 60s and 70s as farmers out there working the land and selling their produce. They go throughout Atlanta. So it's incredible. There is a humongous difference between eating organic and non-organic food related to nutrition. And Renee raised a good point about being basically a test related to the effects of GMOs on your body. Now, what is that going to do to us? And where are the studies that demonstrate the difference between what a genetically modified organism is going to do to your blood cells rather than what an organic food substance is going to do in terms of nourishing your blood cells? Now, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about genetically modified labeling. So we appreciate your listening, and let's get healthy. We're all works in progress. We are with three wonderful women as business owners, Jill Rowland with Nature's Corner Market, Tanika Brooks with Urban Vitamin Depot, and Renee Lowe with Herbal Intentions. So please stand by, and we will come back to you to discuss genetically modified food labeling. Thank you for listening in.
Hey, 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 this is DJ Swipe from 101 Oasis Radio. I'm here to tell you all about On the Record LLC, which is a full-service court reporting agency. They're your best choice for all your deposition and court appearances, serving 27 counties in Georgia. They are a local reporter-owned firm employing only experienced, certified professional court reporters. Their services range from video depositions, expert testimony, judicial services, transcription services, out-of-state witnesses, same-day transcripts in real time. Last-minute scheduling is available. Their staff is ready to serve you and any critical needs that arise. They're available 24/7. So contact my friends over there today to schedule your deposition or court appearance and put it on the record.
Healthy. We're all works in progress. Before we went on our break, we were talking about the differences between genetically modified foods and organic foods and the healthiness between the two. And we're going to talk about the now, according to the Organic Monitor, the struggle over GMO labeling will push the growth of certified organic products in the U.S. Many consumers are buying organic products because they provide a
everything went dead. Tanika?
I'm here. It keeps.
I'm here. It keeps blocking you off, but I'm here.
Yeah.
But it's
Are
blocking
you,
you
there,
off on the radio too.
Yeah, it blocked you out, but I'm here.
Oh, okay. So there's a little bit of technical difficulty. I apologize to the audience. I'm not sure what happened with the glitches. But I was discussing, while apparently Jill, Kanika, and Renee couldn't hear me before we went on the break, we were talking about the differences between genetically modified organisms and organic foodstuff in terms of healthiness. Now, we said we would talk about genetically modified labeling, and according to the Organic Monitor, there's a struggle over GMO labeling. Now, this struggle is going to push the growth of certified organic products in the U.S. That's what's occurring right now, because many consumers are buying organic products because they provide the assurance that, of course, they're not genetically modified. Now, the challenge to that is the Grocery Manufacturers Association is now petitioning the Food and Drug Administration to allow GMOs to be labeled or called natural. Now, consider that. Now, related to the initiative for GMO labeling, there was a humongous failure in the states of California and Washington. So right now, there's a discussion about how GMOs are impacting our overall health and the health food industry, health food store industry in general. So this hot button issue is definitely on our minds as consumers more and more, and certainly on these business owners' minds related to their health food store and what it is that they want to ensure that they're offering to their customers as well as the larger community to be potential customers related to maintaining or improving optimal health. So let's talk about that. I want to listen to Jill give her perspective with labeling for genetically modified organisms and how important it is for our awareness as consumers, considering that you sell fresh produce and a variety of other processed foods that are organic. How important is this awareness related to genetically modified labeling food products?
I think that, you know, consumers definitely have the right to know, you know, what's being put in their bodies. And unfortunately, there's still many out there that really are kind of in the dark as to what GMOs are. But I think that once you start reading the research behind it, you know, who's not going to want to know? So there's, you know, there's certainly a lot of questions and comments about what went on in California that we won't get into, but who's not going to want to know? You know, for the most part, I think the majority of consumers are going to want to know what's in their food. So I just, you know, and of course the big companies are going to fight that. It's going to be more challenging for them, more expensive for them, you know, time-consuming, I'm sure, to, you know, for tracking purposes and whatnot. But so, of course, they're going to fight that. But I think that, you know, like I said, we definitely have the right to know. And one of the things, you know, that you can do, you know, if they don't rule that it should be labeled if they're in there, then you need to look for labels that are certified that they're not in there. So that's kind of the other way to get around that. You know, and just like the smaller farmer and the certifications of being organic, well, the non-GMO certifications can be expensive as well for these companies. So, you know, some of them are putting it on their labels, no GMO ingredients. So that's, you know, that's a good thing. And you can certainly look for that. If you want to get more detailed, you can certainly contact the manufacturers themselves, and they should have their certifications from their raw material suppliers, you know, stating that they're non-GMO. So, but definitely, you know, things like the Non-GMO Project, which we support, that's, you know, like I said, one way to get around them not being told is to see that it's certified non-GMO or that it's certified organic. So that's the only, you know, like I said, way around that we can have on our side.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think, Tanika, about the importance of labeling for GMOs? You've talked about how in some other countries there are food substances that are not offered to the public or the population because of how dangerous it is to the health of the population. What do you think about the importance of being aware of GMO labeling?
Again, it's definitely important for them to be labeled so that we're aware of what actually is in our foods. We definitely deserve the right to know what's what, to be able to make a healthy and a mindful decision about what we choose to put in our bodies as well as our children's bodies. But it really just goes back to what I said as far as the importance also of educating, of having places like with Jill, myself, and Renee that are able to educate, to provide, you know, the resources for that, because until we take that stand and make that demand, nothing really is going to change.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And Renee, you go to a local farmer and you're discussing how important it is to have Jill stores so you don't have to travel so far. So you have a lot to say about GMO versus organic. You're very passionate about that. So please share with our listeners a little more of your passion related to how important it is for all of us to be aware of GMO labeling or not, considering that we don't have it.
Well, I would say labeling in general, whether it's GMO, whether it's gluten-free, whether it's certified organic, whether, you know, whatever it is, whether it's proprietary blend, I'm a huge fan of full disclosure labeling. I personally want to know what I'm putting in my body. I have a lot of food allergies and intolerances, and it makes it tough if I don't, you know, if I can't pick up a label and know exactly what is on there and what I can trust and what I can't trust. And I think, again, GMO, organic, all of that is any time that we can kind of say, all right, folks, let's all get on the same page. Let's have to tell everybody what we have in our stuff. I know that a lot of herbal companies like the whole proprietary labeling, or not proprietary, proprietary blend labeling, where they basically say, yes, we've put X, Y, and Z herb in there, but we're not going to tell you how much of it we've put in there because that's our secret recipe. And I get that, but I also get that it's important to know exactly what you're putting in your body for a variety of reasons. And I think the whole GMO thing is yet just another attempt to, and I'm trying to make it, oh, it's natural, you know, oh, it can still be organic. It's there's nothing chemically been done to it, but you're genetically manipulating the material. So clearly, you know, something has been done to it. And we don't know what those long-term ramifications of that genetic tinkering will be. And so, personally, I want a choice. I want to know if there's a GMO product, you know, that I'm about to put into my body, because I want to be able to make the decision whether I want to play that game of let's find out what this is going to do to me in 20 years or what it's going to do to my family. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's hugely important. And to try to call a GMO product, honestly, is like all of the people who wanted to go out there and say, let's call high fructose corn syrup corn sugar, and that'll make it more appealing. It just doesn't fly.
Yeah, there's a lot of sugar in products now with different names, you know, barley malt, multidextrin, aspartame, high fructose, corn syrup, sugar. There are different names that are, like I said, with barley malt and multidextrin, new names related to sugar. You know, we've seen corn in a lot of things. And what I think about, okay, as a consumer, okay, if it's organic and it says organic, I'm still not very confident that the seed is not genetically modified, even though it says organic, because of all these different definitions for organic. Even though I read the legal definition of USDA, as a consumer, I'm still uncomfortable. It's still in the back of my mind wondering if this organic seed has been genetically modified in some kind of way, considering how more and more corporations, because of commerce, this is America, wanting to
receive some of the cash or currency of those consumers who are now becoming more and more conscious, health conscious, related to how well they want to live in terms of being healthy. So I'm still in the back of my mind, if I'm not confident about the store owner where I'm shopping or going to some of these farmers market, I still feel a little bit uncomfortable. I still feel a little bit uncomfortable, this whole idea of not labeling the food for what it is. And what also feeds my discomfort is some of these ingredients, olive oil and or canola oil. What does that mean? Which one is it? Is it and? How can it be and or? So this duplicitous language on the labeling, you know, it's very interesting. Now, I've got a chart compiled by Dr. Phil Howard, who's an associate professor in the Department of Community Sustainability at Michigan State University, who first published his Who Owns Organics chart in 2003, and he updates this annually. The Cornucopia Institute noted that big food and beverage names such as Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, Nestle, Mars, General Mills, Kellogg, and ConAgra completely dominate the organic processing companies in the United States. For instance, in 1995, there were 81 independent organic processing companies in the United States. A decade later, Big Food had gobbled up all but 15 of them. Now, the Cornucopia Institute is a nonprofit organization that does research and investigation on agricultural and food issues. They provide needed information to family farmers, consumers, and other stakeholders in the good food movement and to the media. The Cornucopia Institute supports economic justice for the family, scale farming community, partner with consumers, backing ecologically produced local, organic, and authentic food. Now, I would like to ask the audience to mute their lines, all but Jill, Tanika, and Renee. There's some background noise, so I would appreciate for the listening audience to tune in to have the background noise be muted out so that everyone can receive the information as they would like to. Now, I want to give the web address for the Cornucopia Institute. It's www.cornucopia.org. As we know, this is a very educational show, and a lot of information is offered that can be verified based on what it is that we're... You can also go to the Organic Monitor's website, which I highly recommend. That's www.foodnavigator-usa.com. There's several articles and links on that website related to the good food movement and also laws. You know, Jill brought up how important it is for us to be aware of these different organizations that are available to share information with us to keep us up to date, so that we can not only be informed and aware, but to get involved as well. So let's talk about this commerce related to being a service to the community. You know, you've got a lot of stores, the big-name stores, as I just said, they're gobbling up the small organic food processing companies. Now, let's talk about that related to how your stores are able to survive competitively against these other big-name corporations that are also looking into, from a commerce perspective, basically, getting the dollars of the consumers. Let's start with you, Jill. You know, you have more and more customers coming to your store rather than going to the larger chains such as Kroger and Whole Foods. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that our customers like the convenience. Like I said, we're a smaller footprint store, kind of a neighborhood location. So I think it's certainly a convenience factor. And then, of course, the personal attention and the knowledge that you're going to get in, you know, some of the smaller, more independent stores, such as all of ours that are on the call. I really look to try to find smaller family-owned companies, preferably local if I can, rather than, like you said, so many of these of our natural manufacturers have been gobbled up by the large corporations. And, you know, for those of us that have been in the industry a long time especially, we really, 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 really do not like seeing that happen. And we are absolutely concerned about, you know, where, because they're always looking at bottom line, you know, so where will they start cutting corners? Where, you know, what are they going to push the government to be allowed to still be labeled as non-organic? I mean, excuse me, labeled as organic. You know, so those are huge concerns. Again, I like trying to find some of the smaller family-owned companies who are, they're in it because they're passionate about it and because it's what they believe in, and it's not because they're trying to, you know, make Wall Street happy. So, you know, we do have, you know, we have we still have some of the brands, obviously, that some of the larger companies own, but then there are some that we just refuse to carry. So, but, you know, there are other brands that have become really popular that are still, they're still operating the same way. They're not, they haven't been bought out yet, I should say, but they're, you know, really popular brands. But I do like to look for, like I said, some smaller companies that are family owned and that are really truly trying to do the right things. So, you know, as far as our herbs and, you know, our foods as well.
Yeah, what about you, Renee? What do you think of your customers? What are your customers discussing with you in terms of their preference to come to your store and get what it is that you offer in terms of herbs and supplements rather than going to the big chains like Kroger and Whole Foods?
Well, I would say for us it's primarily two things. I think the lesser of the two things is to some degree the quality of the products that we carry, especially in light of the big deal with the New York Attorney General and the store brand supplements for, I believe it was like Walmart and, you know, a couple of other companies. So I think that even before that happened, we get some people that just don't trust the quality of what they would get at a, you know, a big box store, like a grocery store, or a big drug store, or a, you know, like Walmart, because, I mean, these are huge retailers. Let's face it, they're not in the supplement industry because that's their passion. It's just one more thing for them to carry. You know, even Kroger, who has brought in a pretty huge organic section, and they're carrying more supplements that are not like bottom of the barrel quality. But even so, I think some people are leery. I think the other reason that we have more people, and through the years, feedback-wise, this is, I think, the bigger reason, at least for us, why people come in, is because customer service and product education. You can't go into a big box store and ask a serious question about a supplement and expect to get a really studied, serious, thoughtful response, because 9 times out of 10, there's not even anybody necessarily working in that section in doing something other than stocking, you know, that section. So you don't have anybody to ask, hey, what's the difference between this brand and this brand? What's the difference in potency? You know, what do you get better feedback on? You know, so I would say for us, it's just that, customer service and product education, just the ability to sit down one-on-one with people and go, hey, you're an individual person and you have individual questions and needs. Let's talk about those.
Yeah, those are some excellent points. What do you think, Tanika? What are your customers saying who are coming to the Urban Vitamin Depot? Are they more interested in coming to your store to get what they need related to supplements and herbs rather than going to the larger chains that are getting into the industry primarily to corner the market related to consumer dollars?
I have to tell you, going after Jill and Renee, you know, you don't leave me much to say. They cover it, honestly. I really don't feel like there's a competition, personally, as far as, like, us with the quote-unquote bigger chains. You know, every store has a need that they have to fill. You know, Nature's Keeper, you know, between Nature's Corner and Ms. Renee's store and then myself, there's really not a competition because each store has fulfilling a need. You know what I mean? So it's like here at Urban Vitamin Depot, we take pride in excellence. You know, customer service is important with us, building rapport, simple things like when people walk in the store, I've managed to know at least 80% of my customers to the point that I know you at least by first name. You're not going to get that in a bigger chain. You're just going to get a hello, hi, ma'am. Whereas you walk into my store, you'll get a, hi, Ms. Brooks, how are you doing today? You know, so just that personable, that one-on-one, that building the rapport is more so to me what you get out of coming to the more local stores.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, for the chart, considering we did talk about how a lot of these larger, or few of them, not even a lot, a lot of them are buying up the smaller food, organic food processing manufacturing companies, the chart is available on www.foodnavigator-usa.com. As I said, I referred that website for some of the other information related to what the Organic Monitor is offering to keep us up to date. And you can see, based on a chart, how these large companies are just taking over these smaller ones. You know, you have Kong Agra that has, as of July 2007, bought out Alexia Foods, that organic food manufacturer. You have Kellogg. The Kellogg brand owns Morningstar Farms, Natural Touch. That's been since November 1999. So a lot of these small organic food processing companies, a lot of times the public thinks, well, this I'm supporting this small business by purchasing their products. But now the larger companies are buying up these smaller companies. And what I'm observing with reading labels is more and more ingredients related to sugar is being put into these products now, and more salt. So you don't have as close to, as you're making the transition from eating organic processed foods as cooked food to raw food, you're getting a lot of high sodium and sugar in these foods now. So I think that is very important to pay attention to, not just reading if it's GMO organic, but what is actually in the food and seeing the differences. Would you all agree with that, particularly you, Jill, that you find that more and more additional ingredients rather than the basic ingredients are being put into these foods as more corporations are buying up these smaller companies?
Well, that, like I said, that's certainly a huge concern. It seems that for the most part, you know, they continue and they claim to operate as, you know, as normal, without changes in the products. I would be remiss to say that, you know, they weren't doing things quietly, and like you said, possibly increase in sodium or sugar, possibly. But that is certainly a concern of ours, and even some of the supplement companies that have been bought. And even though they're operating as normal, but there's always that concern. You know, at what point will they possibly start cutting costs? You know, it's a concern. And like I said, those of us, you know, we really, really don't like. It's twofold. I mean, it's great that the education is out there now, and people are more aware. But then again, on the other hand, it's the large companies again looking at the bottom line. There is certainly a concern there of what, you know, what corners they may start to cut.
Yeah, I think that with the growth of the industry, of people becoming more and more aware of their health and wanting to eat organic, considering the billions of dollars has been forecasted to be made out to 2018, which is estimated to be $50 billion.
Right.
I think more people are going to
business, and I don't like it. You
mm-hmm.
know, many people don't. It's great
mm-hmm.
that more people are educated, but it's becoming big business and you know, looking at the bottom line instead
mm-hmm.
of, you know, the way a lot of the smaller companies that are still out there, you know, they're still, it's because of we're passionate about it. And, you know, the herbal companies, they're passionate about it. These, you know, when you go into a warehouse store and you buy a whatever gigantic bottle of echinacea or whatever herb for a couple of bucks or, you know, whatever, I'm exaggerating, but it's just not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people on the call will tell you as well, it is not an herb, just because it has that name on the label.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely
wow.
about how grown and processed, and so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why don't you speak a little bit to that, Tanika, as a master herbalist, related to what Jill said, an herb is not an herb, it's not an herb because it says it. Now, how do you market that to your customers as a store owner related to offering herbs for healing for different ailments?
For me, I don't reference healing. I use
mm-hmm.
things like historically, because I can only go by things that are historically used.
Mm-hmm.
Things as far as the herbs is that something that may work for me may not work for you. So I never tell anybody that I can heal them. Other than that, again, I just push education. I allow
mm-hmm.
them to understand the difference between maybe a product that you would get out of our store versus something that you would get out of a bigger chain that's mass-produced.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with the mass-produced herbs, you're still dealing with the whole, I'm not sure what's really in it. Where with our
mm-hmm.
store, anything that we carry, we make sure that we check with the manufacturers, we're checking with the company, we have access to the companies. At any time, I can give a company a call and say, hey, I have a customer that had this product, had this reaction, and wants to know what's in it. So I think that is probably the biggest thing that I push, if anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very empowering, and it's true. You don't do the healing, the body does it. You know, our body is organic. And it has its own intelligence. And so when we use the elements that come from nature, it's just a balance that we create to get to a place of homeostasis or optimal health and well-beingness. Now, I would like you all to think about this for a minute. Are you finding that more health food stores are cropping up because of more and more people becoming aware of their health and wanting more organic, and so the demand is being met, because you all are different locations?
Who was that directed to?
You can take it on, Jill. You can take it on.
Okay. Well, there's definitely, you know, again, and it goes, they're definitely seeing a lot more health food stores opening up. A lot of it, I guess primarily, though, at least in our area, it's the larger chains that are opening up, and so that all goes back to, you know, big business and making Wall Street happy, and that's why there's more and more of them opening up, because they, you know, like you said, they want that market share. And so again, going back to the smaller independently owned stores, whether it's a health food store or any other service, you know, definitely supporting your locally owned business is so important to
mm-hmm.
support the local community. We do have a community board in our store too for local business owners to put up their business cards and flyers and whatnot. And I highly encourage, you know, our customers to review that board and, you know, see what services you could procure from, you know, some of these local businesses. So it's so important, just talking about, you know, your smaller local businesses in general, but then, you know, once again, going back to the reasons that I think we've all covered for going in, you know, and supporting your smaller or independently owned health food store, you've got education, you've got personal attention, and we're going to be more we're going to have more higher standards of products that get bought into our store. So mm-hmm. we're not, you know, just putting on a you know, big song and dance show. We're really passionate about it, and you know, we really want the healthiest, cleanest products on the shelf. So, I mean, you know, and of course, as a pretty much a full service store, we have things obviously that should be, you know, limited in your diet. But if you're going to eat a cookie or, you know, a candy bar, at least make it, you know, a healthier option, because, you mm-hmm. know, not everyone's just eating, you know, only produce and, you know, clean proteins all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, mm-hmm. there's a variety there, but you know, the education that we give everyone, you know, it's all your foundation for health. It's all about the food that you put in your body. So if you're filling the tank with you know, bad foods, then to try to offset that with supplements is just not, it doesn't work that way. So anyway.
Okay, that's a beautiful response. It's very well thought out and well-rounded. Renee, you've been out in Acworth since 2005. Do you find any other health food stores within the maybe Cherokee area coming up, considering that more and more people are demanding organic foodstuffs related to optimal health? Renee?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. I would say that we are seeing more big box stores. We're not seeing mm-hmm. more small and intimate stores. In less than a 1 square mile radius, we have my shop, we have a GNC, a discount nutrition, Red Carpet Pharmacy, and they've just opened up a vitamin shop right in the middle of that in October of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, prior to the vitamin shop, you know, all of the shops that have been here have existed fairly commensalistically. I mean, it's crazy to say this, but GNC sends us business,
mm-hmm.
and you know we send business back and forth with Mona over at Discount Nutrition. I think the stores that have independent managers, even if they are like a part of a bigger chain, but like with you know, stores that are changed where you have passionate owners that are present, they're there, they're knowledgeable, those kind of stores are going to do well. The big box stores that are very, very corporate and they're just kind of carrying a massive collage of stuff, I don't feel threatened by them. I do think we will probably see more of them. I imagine mm-hmm. there is a demographic that is their primary target, but I'm a little concerned about the kind of customer service that somebody's going to get going in there. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's it's just like there's enough for everybody. There's a shop for everybody. Some people don't require that. They just want to go in and buy supplement X, Y, or Z, and they don't have any questions about it. Maybe they don't care about quality, or maybe they know exactly what they want, and they just want to walk in and buy it. And those stores are going to do well with those people. But I think when
mm-hmm.
people have legitimate questions, they're going to find their way to a shop like ours, and when I say ours, I mean all three of us business owners here, because we all cater to our customers' individual needs, and we're not just providing a generic selling experience.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's very powerful. What about you, Tanika? You're in Hiram. You've been there for 10 years. Well, the store's been there for 10 years, and you and Vicky saved the day to make sure that that store stayed open and be of service to the community. Are there any other health food stores cropping up around where you're at?
It's funny because we are actually, one of the sayings that we have here is, yes, there's an herb shop in Hiram, because there's not much out here. Again, I don't necessarily believe in competition, but even just
mm-hmm.
health food store-wise, there's not. I believe that our closest store would be Nature's Market, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So
right,
it definitely makes it a little bit.
I actually live
Nature's
in
Corner
now.
Sorry, I combined the two. Nature's Corner. But
I think we're like the closest neighbors, yeah, because there's not anything in Hiram or in the area of Paulding County, so we have the luxury to kind of be a standalone and to be able to allow not only our name to speak for ourselves but our quality of our products. So it's not like you're necessarily forced to come to us, but you're excited to see that we're here. So we have a lot of people mm-hmm. that may go to the gas station and they'll look up and say, oh, you guys are here. I didn't know there was one here close. So we're basically that neighborhood herb shop that you need.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's excellent, considering you having said that, we're coming to the end of our show, and I would like each of you to just share with all the knowledge that you have in the time that you've been in business to live your passion and be of service to the community so that we all can sustain and maintain health. I mean, it's incredible that you all have made changes in a career path with Renee, Jill, from her own personal experience and healing, wanting to be of service to the community to offer health through groceries and supplements and services. Tanika, with your background as a master herbalist, with your experience in offering herbal remedies to your friends and family first and seeing a need in the community and saving a store to be of service to a community. I would like each of you to tell us why you think it's important to have a health food store in the community. I want to start with Tanika. Please share with us why you think this is important.
I think it's important to basically give the community an alternative resource. You know, we allow them to have a holistic approach when providing service. So you're not just coming in for one thing. You're getting a holistic approach. So it's an alternative. It's giving you the opportunity to have options when you feel hopeless or when you're just tired of doing the same thing. So for me, it's important to have a store such as ourselves in the community just to give the community another option.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, I'm going to have to end it there. I'm over my time. It's been a wonderful conversation. I appreciate you all coming in and sharing with our listeners why it's important to have a health food store in the community. Well, this is Let's Get Healthy. We are all works in progress. Please join us next Friday from 7 to 8:30, where we'll be talking with cardiologist Dr. Janice Scobie about heart healthiness and the health risks related to African-American women who are now at the top of the list related to heart disease. Again, this is Let's Get Healthy. We are all works in progress. We appreciate our guests, Jill Rowland of Nature's Corner Market, Renee Lowe of Herbal Intentions, and Tanika Brooks with Herb and Vitamin Depot. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate your time and your knowledge and your service. Everyone, enjoy your weekend. Be blessed and well, and thank you for listening to Let's Get Healthy, where all works in progress.